Oh, yes, I noticed, said Tricia. All right, here it is. It's very simple. Many years ago, I met a guy at a party. He said he was from another planet, and did I want to go along with him? I said, yes, okay, it was that kind of party. I said to him to wait while I went to get my bag, and then I'd be happy to go off to another planet with him. He said I wouldn't need my bag. I said he obviously came from a very backward planet, or he'd know that a woman always needed to take her bag with her. He got a bit impatient, but I wasn't going to be a complete pushover just because he said he was from another planet. I went upstairs. It took me a while to find my bag, and then there was someone else in the bathroom. Came down, and he was gone. Tricia paused. And? Said Gail. The garden door was open. I went outside. There were lights, some kind of gleaming thing. I was just in time to see it rise up into the sky, shoot silently up through the clouds and disappear. That was it. End of story. End of one life, beginning of another. But hardly a moment of this life goes by that I don't wonder about some other me, a me that didn't go back for her bag. I feel like she's out there somewhere, and I'm walking in her shadow. A member of the hotel staff was now going round the bar asking people if they were Mr. Miller. Nobody was. "You really think this person was from another planet?" asked Gail. "Oh, certainly. There was the spacecraft. Oh, and also he had two heads."
"Two?
Didn't anybody else notice?" "It was a fancy dress party," said Tricia. "Oh, I see," said Gail. "And he had a birdcage over it, of course," said Tricia, "with a cloth over the cage. Pretended he had a parrot. He tapped on the cage and did a lot of stupid Pretty Polly stuff and squawking and so on. Then he pulled the cloth back for a moment and roared with laughter. There was another head in there, laughing along with him. It was a very worrying moment, I can tell you." "I think you probably did the right thing, dear, don't you?" said Gail. "No," said Tricia. "No, I don't. And I couldn't carry on doing what I was doing, either. I was an astrophysicist, you see. You can't be an astrophysicist properly if you've actually met someone from another planet who's got a second head that pretends to be a parrot. You just can't do it. I couldn't, at least." "I can see it would be hard," said Gail. "And that's probably why you tend to be a little hard on other people who talk what sounds like complete nonsense." "Yes," said Tricia. "I expect you're right. I'm sorry." "That's okay." "You're the first person I've ever told this, by the way." "I wondered," said Gail. "You married?"
No. So hard to tell these days, isn't it? But you're quite right to ask, because that probably was the reason. I came very close a few times, mostly because I wanted to have a kid, but every guy ended up asking why I was constantly looking over his shoulder. What do you tell someone? At one point, I even thought I might just go to a sperm bank and take pot luck, have somebody's child at random."
"You can't seriously do that, can you?"
Tricia laughed. "Probably not. I never quite went and found out for real. Never quite did it. Story of my life. Never quite did the real thing. That's why I'm in television, I guess. Nothing is real."
Excuse me, lady. Your name Tricia McMillan?"
Tricia looked round in surprise. There was a man standing there in a chauffeur's hat.
Yes, she said, instantly pulling herself back together again. "Lady, I've been looking for you for about an hour. Hotel said they didn't have anybody of that name, but I checked back with Mr. Martin's office, and they said that this is definitely where you were staying. So I ask again. They still say they never heard of you, so I get them to page you anyway, and they can't find you. In the end, I get the office to fax a picture of you through to the car and have a look myself."
He looked at his watch. Maybe a bit late now. Do you want to go anyway?"
Tricia was stunned.
"Mr. Martin? You mean Andy Martin at NBS?
That's correct, lady. Screen test for USAM.
Tricia shot up out of her seat. She couldn't even bear to think of all the messages she'd heard from Mr. McManus and Mr. Miller.
"Only we have to hurry," said the chauffeur. "As I heard it, Mr. Martin thinks it might be worth trying a British accent. His boss at the network is dead against the idea. That's Mr. Zwingler. And I happen to know he's flying out to the coast this evening, because I'm the one who has to pick him up and take him to the airport."
"Okay," said Tricia. "I'm ready. Let's go."
"Okay, lady. It's the big limo at the front."
Tricia turned back to Gail.
"I'm sorry," she said.
"Go, go," said Gail, "and good luck. I've enjoyed meeting you."
Tricia made to reach for her bag for some cash.
Damn, she said. She had left it upstairs.
"Our drinks are on me," insisted Gail. "Really, it's been very interesting."
Tricia sighed.
Look, I'm really sorry about this morning, and don't say another word. I'm fine. It's only astrology. It's harmless. It's not the end of the world.
Thanks. On an impulse, Tricia gave her a hug. You got everything, said the chauffeur? You don't want to pick up your bag or anything?
If there's one thing that life's taught me, said Tricia, it's never go back for your bag.
Just a little over an hour later, Tricia sat on one of the pair of beds in her hotel room. For a few minutes, she didn't move. She just stared at her bag, which was sitting innocently on top of the other bed. In her hand was a note from Gail Andrews saying, Don't be too disappointed. Do ring if you want to talk about it. If I were you, I'd stay in at home tomorrow night. Get some rest. But don't mind me, and don't worry, it's only astrology. It's not the end of the world. Gail. The chauffeur had been dead right. In fact, the chauffeur seemed to know more about what was going on inside NBS than any other single person she had encountered in the organization.